Amazing Grace. Well, most of you know that I play golf a couple mornings a week. But before I leave the house to play each time I go out, there's one thing I'm quite religious about. I make sure that I have plenty of water to drink. For I know if I don't have enough water, it can actually be dangerous to play golf in the kind of heat we've been experiencing. But you know, that's not just true about golfing, it's true about life. We need water to live. We can go without food for about 3 weeks, but we can only live 3 or 4 days without water. Water is a non-negotiable for life. Without water, enough water, you become fatigued, lightheaded, your heart rate will increase, your muscles will cramp, and you'll overheat. And if, you know, you're severely dehydrated, your organs will begin to shut down, and you can even die. So yes, we need water to live. That's a physical reality. But in the spiritual realm, in this thing called the Christian life, there is one thing, one ingredient each one of us needs every day in order to truly live like Jesus. So my question this morning is this: do you know what that is? Now, some of you might say, well, we need love. We need the love of Jesus in order to live the Christian life. And some of you might say, well, we need truth. We need God's truth in order to help us understand God's will and so we can live God's way. And some of you might say, well, we need faith. We can't live the Christian life without faith. And I would say to all of those things, yeah, we need love, truth, and faith. But there's one ingredient we all need that replenishes our truth, our love, our faith like water. And that ingredient is what Paul leaves us with today as he concludes this letter to the Philippians. So you may be asking, well, what is that one thing we need every day? Well, listen to Paul's parting words to us in Philippians 4, 21 through 23, and see if you can pick it out. Here he says, "Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, and especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Well, did you pick it up? Did you catch that? Did you hear the one ingredient we really need to live our Christian faith? We need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with us. See, that's how Paul concludes this letter to the Philippians. This is Paul's parting shot of grace in prayer for us. And it's from this little prayer that Paul really tells us a very important truth, why the grace of God, of Jesus Christ, is really everything to us. And so this morning, I'm just going to unpack this little bit of this prayer for us and talk about why the grace of Jesus Christ is everything to us. And first thing I'd like to say is this, is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ captures the essence of the gospel. See, Paul wants us to know, Paul wants you to know, that it is the grace of Jesus Christ that began your salvation and will complete your salvation. In fact, there's no better way of expressing God's grace to us than this, than the way that Paul said it to the Corinthians when he wrote these words, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." See, that's a perfect summary of the whole gospel, the whole way of salvation. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ made your salvation possible. Without his willingness to become one of us and give his life for us, there's no way anyone could have been saved. And yet that's exactly what Paul spelled out in the heart of this letter to the Philippians, describing Jesus' mission to us when he wrote of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
That well-known passage summarizes the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Jesus left heaven's glory to take the lowest place and become one of us, so his sacrifice could be for all of us, for each of us. And as a result today, no one is outside the scope of his salvation. Now today, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. For the God's word tells us, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no another name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So Jesus became one of us to offer himself for us to give us salvation. Simply put, that's grace. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that is the beginning of our salvation, but it is also the completion of our salvation. See, I love the way the writer of the Hebrews explains how the blood of Jesus purchased our salvation once for all. Speaking of Jesus, he writes, "He entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." In other words, Jesus purchased your salvation with his precious blood. That's grace. Jesus did this for you so that you could rest in his grace. You now belong to him. He purchased you out of the marketplace of sin. He set you free. You now have eternal life. That's why Paul began this letter with this promise, this letter of Philippians, when he said, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So Jesus began your salvation, and he will finish your salvation. Every part of your salvation has been accomplished for you by Jesus Christ. That's grace. That's why Paul told the Ephesians, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, not by our works, so that no one can boast." So Paul concludes this letter by praying this prayer: "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen." See, he prays this so that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will be the foundation of our faith. It'll be the anchor for our hope and the catalyst for living our new life in Christ. See, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ really is everything for us. That's why Paul ends his letter with this exclamation mark on grace. That's why Paul prays this prayer for us. And that's why Paul adds this phrase, "be with your spirit." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, be with your spirit. Amen. See, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that now motivates us to live the Christian life, this new life in Christ. His grace is like water to our spirit. It is the catalyst that helps us live our new life. So to explain this, to kind of grasp this, I really love how Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones explains this. You know, I quoted him last week. I'm quoting him this week. He was a very famous Welsh preacher in England during the 1900s. He says this of our spirit. He says, "Our spirits are the highest part of our natures. Everything that is central and most important is ultimately in the spirit." Now, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about our spirit. He says, "It is by our spirits that we are capable of communion with God. We are body, soul, and spirit, and the spirit is the highest. The spirit within us is the link between ourselves and God. The spirit within us, in spite of our sin, marks us out as distinct from animals and reminds us that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And ultimately, it is true to say that our spirit controls the whole of our life." So what Paul is saying here for us is this: if the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit, if Jesus' spirit of grace is controlling the spirit within you, then no matter what you face in life, you're going to be all right. So I want you to think about this from Paul's perspective. The whole letter to the Philippians illustrates this for us. For even in prison, where everything seems to be against him, Paul has joy and peace. And is above it all because the grace of the Lord Jesus is with his spirit. I mean, reread this letter and you'll see this. Paul has joy. He is thankful. He is not envious of other people's success. He doesn't complain. He's free from the pull of life's ambitions. He has peace and he is content. And what I see here from Paul is this. It's not just a new way to pray for one another, but this is a new way for us to live by grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, I want you to think of the opposite with me. Think of the opposite. It is not a wrong spirit that causes most of our troubles and problems in life. I mean, look back at your life and think of what made you unhappy or caused you anxiety or stress, or even right now where you're maybe dealing with anxiety or stress or worry or fear over the craziness in our world. See, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that it's often a wrong spirit in us that leads to most of our problems. Evil thoughts, holding grudges, being jealous, being envious often cause us to struggle with discontentment or discouragement. So just think how much unhappiness we could avoid if only our spirits were sweet and pure and lifted up constantly, daily, by the grace of Jesus Christ. See, that's why Paul prays the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. For when God's grace is with us, when God's grace transforms our spirit, there's no room for evil thoughts, for jealousy, for envy, or holding grudges. And there's no whining or complaining to your spouse or to God when your spirit is enveloped with the sweet grace of Jesus. So then, when his grace is with your spirit, you see, that's when Jesus will motivate you and me to live the new kind of life he's called us to live. See, that's what we've seen throughout this letter. The grace of Jesus flows through every part of this remarkable letter. I want you to think back through this letter with me now about his grace. You see, when his grace is with your spirit, you can have joy. That's the very first thing that Paul wrote about. And we see his joy throughout this letter. But when you think about it, this is why God saved you in the first place. So that you can be right with him, that you can know his smile, that you can enjoy life with him, you can walk with him, you can share in the joy of knowing Jesus as your Savior and Lord. When his grace is with you, your spirit, you can have joy. But also when his grace is with your spirit, you can rest in his salvation. So you no longer have to try to live up to some standard to gain God's approval. The heart of the gospel is that you already have it. And as Paul wrote, Jesus will continue to work in you and bring you to your salvation to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. So we can rest and not worry. And we can be secure knowing that our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. And then, as we go through the letter, we saw that when his grace is with your spirit, you can grow in his love. We can grow more and more in the love of Jesus Christ. See, by his grace, you and I, well, we've been set free from the law, so we can now learn to love like Jesus, to live like Jesus, become more like Jesus. And of course, when his grace is with your spirit, you can be free of envy. You won't care who gets the credit when somebody does something good for the kingdom of God. Instead, like Paul, you can rejoice that Jesus is being preached, that Jesus is being lifted up, that the kingdom of God is advancing. Because grace means it's not about what you do, it's about what God's doing, and God is constantly working all around us. And grace sets us free to enjoy that. And of course, when his grace is with your spirit, you want to make much of Jesus. Now, you'll find that life's no longer about making a name for yourself, but making a name for Jesus. And you'll be able to say, like Paul, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. You want to honor God, lift up God, bring glory to Jesus. Your whole perspective in life can change when the grace of Jesus Christ is with your spirit. Now, let me take a little break here from running through this book. You see, you and I, we think that the grace of Christ is with our spirit all the time. But it's interesting that Paul prays this, that the Lord of the grace of Jesus Christ would be with our spirit. That means that there are times when we are not operating, we're not living by His grace, but we're living out of the flesh. And so he prays this so that we will rest in His grace, so that His grace will change us. And as His grace changes us, we jump back into the book of Philippians, and one of the things that we saw is that when His grace is with your spirit, this world loses its grip on you. You see, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are not citizens of this world. And when we are reminded by the grace of Jesus Christ that we are part of the kingdom of God, then the trials and tribulations of this world are not as powerful. They don't take away our joy. They don't take away our peace, because we are part of something so much bigger and greater. And so, when His grace is with your spirit, this world, the things of this world, will lose their grip on you. And of course, when His grace is with your spirit, well, you know what? You'll start thinking more like Jesus. And that's the heart of that whole picture of Jesus becoming one of us. You'll start thinking more like Jesus. You'll start serving more like Jesus and giving yourself like Jesus. And you will now see that emptying yourself, humbling yourself, is the way that you can begin imparting grace to others, just like Jesus. And of course, when His grace is with your spirit, you'll start becoming more like Jesus. You'll know that God is working in you, and you will work alongside, and you will begin to see how His grace changes you from the inside out, and you'll begin to become more gracious with those who fail you. You'll become more including of those who are not like you. You'll become more compassionate to those in need, more merciful, patient, gentle, joyful, and gracious. You'll become like Jesus. You'll begin to live like Jesus, love like Jesus. And of course, when His grace is with your spirit, you'll gain a new kind of confidence. Your confidence will no longer be found in what you do, but in what Christ has done for you. You will rest in the righteousness Jesus has given you and experience the freedom that grace gives you from trying to live according to the law. That's what grace does for us. It gives a new kind of confidence. And when His grace is with your spirit, your past will no longer define you. You'll forget your past. You'll press on towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so now following Jesus will define you. And you want what He wants more than anything else in life. When His grace is with your spirit, your past will no longer define you. And boy, I wish that this would be true for all of us. Sometimes we get locked in our past. We get locked in our failures. We get locked in our sin. And Jesus wants us to be free of that, to follow Him. And of course, when His grace is with your spirit, you'll find a peace in the midst of turmoil. For you will then bring all of your worries and fears to God with thanksgiving. And He will surround your heart, your mind, with the surpassing peace of God. We need to remember that in these days. And of course, when His grace is with your spirit, you'll begin to set your thoughts on the things of the Spirit. You'll fill your mind with the truth of God's Word, the goodness of His grace, the purity and beauty of God's Son. And then you will think of these things, that whatever is noble, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, we'll think on those things and not on the things of this world. And of course, when His grace is with your spirit, then you will learn true contentment from Jesus. You'll find that Jesus is all you need. You will see that Jesus is enough. And you will have contentment. I don't know about you, but I know we all need that. And then finally, when His grace is with your spirit, you will give of yourself and your resources to be God's instrument of grace in your world. For you know that it is because God's grace to you in Jesus that you already have all you need. And because you already have all you need, you can trust that He will always supply you with whatever you need in Christ. So there you have it. That's the whole message of Philippians in a nutshell. It's all about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is like water to our spirit. It's something that we need to drink deeply of every day so that our faith will not grow dry, so that we will be vibrant and that we will be vessels of living water in a world that needs grace. For when His grace is with your spirit, you not only will rest in His salvation, but His grace will empower you and be the catalyst for you to live a life of grace. So then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ change you and make you an instrument of grace in your marriage, in your neighborhood, in your relationships, and in our world. After all, if there's ever a time where our world could use the grace of Jesus Christ coming through your life, now's that day. So may you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and become peddlers of His grace in a world that is thirsty for the grace of God, so that our world might experience the grace of Jesus through your grace to them, and so that Jesus might be exalted through our lives. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We are people of grace, and it's all because of what Jesus gave us through His life, death, and resurrection. We've been forgiven. We've been redeemed. We've been adopted. And now God has given us His Spirit so that His grace might flow through our lives to bless others. We've been blessed to be a blessing. Would you pray with me? Father, we need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with our spirits today. Father, pour out your grace into our hearts. May we live by grace, rest in your grace, so that we might be people of grace. That is the defining characteristic of Christianity. Help us then, as we go about our day to day, as we interact with our spouses, with others, that we would be people of grace. Thank you now for your grace to us in Christ Jesus, for it is in His precious name we pray. Amen.